Everybody is counting LSU out. Everybody is writing Georgia off as a win in the SEC championship. Nobody thinks that LSU has a chance, and I disagree. On today's edition of Locked On LSU, I will highlight exactly how LSU could pull off the upset and win the SEC championship, all that and so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And I also want to let y'all know that today's edition is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. My name is Caroline Fenton, and I'm your host, as I am every day. I graduated from LSU. I've been covering LSU football since 2016, and I'm a sports talk radio host in Nashville, Tennessee. We are just one day away from the LSU Tigers taking the field in Atlanta and competing for an SEC championship. Nobody thought LSU would be here at this point. I didn't think this. Nobody thought in Brian Kelly's first year, after what this program has gone through over the past couple of years, you know, this the stark decline since the national championship, I didn't expect LSU to be in this point in Brian Kelly's first year. But here we are. And on the next edition of Locked On LSU, I want to explain just how big that is and what that means, but Brian Kelly's first year making it to Atlanta. I'll get into that later. But first, I want to focus on the game. I want to focus on LSU versus Georgia. I want to focus on everything that LSU needs to do in order to win this game. And first, before we get into the X's and O's and what LSU's offense and defense needs to do in order to pull off the epic upset, I want to talk about what everybody else in the country is talking about, because I feel like a lot of the conversation is, well, this game isn't very exciting because neither team has anything to play for, really. And I understand that perspective from the outside looking in. I understand that this does not have college football playoff implications like the Pac-12 championship might be tonight. USC wins, they're in the top four. USC loses, they're out of the college football playoff. Utah beat USC in the regular season. I understand that that game has a little bit more zhuzh to it because there are playoff implications. In this game, Georgia loses, they're still in. In this game, LSU loses, no harm, no foul, right? Wrong. Because just because the playoff isn't at stake doesn't mean these two teams don't have anything to play for. It doesn't mean that LSU is playing with house money. It doesn't mean that Georgia is looking at this game like, okay, let's just get past this one, and then we're on to the college football playoff, and then we're on to whatever bowl we're slated in. The reason why LSU is not going into this game saying, well, you know, playoff is out the window, so nothing to play for. Incorrect. LSU has a Sugar Bowl berth to play for. If LSU wins the SEC championship and beats Georgia, there's no way LSU doesn't get the bid to the Sugar Bowl. LSU loses this game, and they probably go to the Citrus Bowl. Alabama's in the Sugar Bowl. You want Alabama to play in the bowl that you earned? You want Tennessee to play in the bowl that you earned? You want Alabama and Tennessee, one of those teams you beat, to be in New Year's Sixes, and you're playing in Orlando yet again for like the third time in like 8 years? You want that? I don't. So I understand that the Sugar Bowl is not a playoff game. I understand that the national championship, or at least an opportunity to play for a national championship, that's not at stake here. But I want to go to the Sugar Bowl. I think this team has shown how good they are. They are good enough to be able to compete in one of the top six bowls in the country. I think LSU is a top 12 team in the country. They should have the opportunity to play with another one of the top 12 teams in the country. I think, and it's, you know, add in the fact that it's going to be in New Orleans, then it's going to be in LSU's backyard. But the Sugar Bowl is a bowl to me that if you're not playing in the college football playoff, the Sugar Bowl is the Sugar Bowl. It's the, we were one of the best teams in the SEC. LSU won the West. They should have the opportunity to play for it. They lose this game to Georgia, they won't get that opportunity. So LSU's playing for that. If you can't play for a playoff game, at least play for a New Year's Six game. So don't tell me that LSU's playing with completely house money. Second thing, I think a lot of people are going into this game saying, oh, Georgia's in the playoff no matter what. Not that they're going to take their foot off the gas, or not that this game means nothing to Georgia, but they're in the playoff no matter what. So like, this game doesn't have a lot of juice to it. So Georgia might be playing a little bit more conservatively, which we've seen Georgia do a lot this season. They might go in and play a little bit more conservatively. They're not going to intentionally blow teams out like we might see like an Alabama do, which there's nothing wrong with that. I think I kind of appreciate the flex. But we've seen it. I mean, a close game against Missouri, Georgia played Florida close in the first half and then pulled away in the second. Georgia has had the tendency to do that. They, you know, press very lightly on the gas pedal and then they'll slam it if they need to. But Georgia has more to play for than just getting into the college football playoff. And this is why. The two bowl games for the college football playoff are the Fiesta Bowl and the Peach Bowl. Fiesta Bowl is going to be the 2-3 matchup. The Peach Bowl is the 1-4 matchup. If Georgia loses this game, Georgia most likely drops to 2. If TCU is 13-0, they win the Big 12, I don't think that they jump Georgia. Maybe they do. But worst case scenario, Georgia loses this game, they drop to 2, maybe even 3. So they would be playing in the Fiesta Bowl, assuming that TCU wins the Big 12 and Michigan wins the Big 10, which Michigan is going to trounce Purdue. So I expect TCU and Michigan to both win those games. If not, TCU drops to 4. So if Georgia loses this game, they're playing in the Fiesta Bowl. You don't think that they're playing for a spot to play basically at home? You don't think that playing the Peach Bowl is pretty important to Georgia? I think Georgia can win on any field. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that, you know, you go to Phoenix and Georgia's at an inherent disadvantage. I don't think that's necessarily the case. But winning this game means that you get to stay just a couple hours away from home. That whatever college football playoff game you play in is essentially going to be a home game. I'd want that. I'd want to play for that. So that's at stake for Georgia, is getting the number one seed and getting the opportunity to play essentially at home in Atlanta, just a hop and a skip away from Athens. You don't have to worry about long travel, long flights, you know, the jet lag that comes after traveling halfway across the country. Make it easy for yourself. Play in Atlanta. Play down the street. I think that's what Georgia wants. But the bigger thing here is, I think that the SEC championship game is personal for Kirby Smart. I think that this is the one bugaboo that Kirby Smart has yet to get off of his back. And we talked to the host of Locked On Bulldogs, one of the hosts of Locked On Bulldogs, Daniel Monroe, earlier this week. And he said, you know, Kirby Smart doesn't look at the 2021 season and say, oh, well, we won the national championship. But just because we lost the SEC championship, you know, we won the big one. We won the one that is more important, so it's fine. Even though they did win the big one, they did win the one that was more important. I think Kirby Smart looks at the SEC championship and says, I won it. They went in 2019 and, of course, got blown out by LSU. LSU goes on to win the national championship, in case you guys forgot what happened in 2019. But I think that this is personal for Kirby Smart, that they were at the top of college football last year. They won the national title. But they didn't get an SEC title. That even though Georgia won it all, won the big one, they didn't have an SEC championship trophy in their trophy case from last year. When you look at the winners through the years of the SEC championship, you don't see, oh, in 2021, Alabama won, asterisk, Georgia went on to win the national title. You don't see that. I think this is a very personal game for Kirby Smart. He wants this. He wants to win this game. He wants to have a perfect season, to go 12-0 in the regular season, win the SEC title, go on to win, you know, the Peach Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Peach Bowl it would be, and then go on to win the national title. He wants that perfect season, and I don't blame him. So it's personal. So don't tell me this game has nothing to play for. Don't tell me that since LSU is out and Georgia's guaranteed to be in, that this game means nothing. Because it doesn't. Just because it doesn't have playoff implications, at least for LSU, or, you know, seeding for Georgia, but they're going to make the playoff no matter what. Just because those aren't at play here doesn't mean that there's nothing to play for. So how does LSU win this game? It's going to be difficult. But I want to look at the defensive side of the ball. Georgia has one of the best defenses in the country. How can LSU's outplay Georgia's? We'll get into that coming up next. But before, I want to tell you about betonline.net, because of course it is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. They've got football, basketball, soccer, esports, you name it. They've got it at betonline.net. And I think my favorite thing about betonline.net is it's not just a place to wager. It's not just a place to place some money on bets. It's also a place to get some really high quality information. So if you love sports podcasts, you can find those on betonline.net as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fixed. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. So for your second listen, check out Locked On Sports today. From the games that matter most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with the local experts and insights that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. So LSU's defense, I believe, really has carried this team throughout the season. The offense... Excuse me, I'll get a sip of water. The offense has been up and down, has been hot and cold throughout the season. We saw it struggle earlier in the season. We saw an offensive surge, Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama, UAB, I'll even throw in there. The anchor of this team has been the defense. So what does LSU's defense need to do to upset Georgia and win the SEC title? Well, before you answer that question, first you have to look at Georgia's strengths and weaknesses offensively. I have to say that Georgia's biggest strength offensively is their tight ends. I mean, Brock Bowers is one of the most impressive players I've seen so far this season. And I know he gets his due. I know he gets his love. I don't think it's enough. Because not only is he like a behemoth of a human being. I mean, not only is he a really, really solid player, I mean, he's 6'4", 230 pounds. Like, he's huge. Not only is he a really good player, but he also has been proven to be Stetson Bennett's favorite target, and he's a certified playmaker. So not only can he catch passes in, you know, in the short game, you know, 4 or 5 6-yard passes, he can also blow up defenders with his size, and he can gain some extra yards after carry. So Brock Bowers absolutely is one of their strengths. He's got almost 700 yards in the season, 5 receiving yards, and 5 touchdowns on the season. But they've also got Darnell Washington. It's kind of their tight end too that is utilized a lot. So, you know, you sell out to stop Brock Bowers. Well, look, you've got plenty. You got Darnell Washington, and you've got plenty of other really solid receivers and running backs that can carry the rock as well. So what LSU's defense is going to have to do is to limit those short passing situations, is to make Stetson Bennett make him uncomfortable and make him feel like he has to throw the ball downfield, which Stetson Bennett absolutely can do. But once you shut down the short passing situations and open up the long ball, then that opens up the propensity for turnovers. And it also allows the pass rush to come in. You take out their tight ends, and you get to the quarterback, you take away the short and the long ball, then now you got to rely on the run. There are so many elements and layers to this Georgia offense because they're good on the run. Their tight ends are solid. Their wide receivers are solid. They've got a good quarterback who I think is an underrated quarterback who has been playing incredibly efficiently so far this season. There's a lot of layers to it, but this LSU defense also has a lot of layers to it as well. They're so incredibly strong up front. They've got one of the best pass rushers in the country in P.J. Ojulari. And oh, also, you know, your quarterback escapes from the pocket, you've got Harold Perkins waiting for you right there. While the secondary, I don't think, is one of the top in the country, the secondary has some certified playmakers that can try and limit what these wide receivers are going to do. But I think the key here is limiting Georgia's first downs. If you let Georgia get those first downs, then they just continue to roll. Once they get the momentum going, then they can lean into the other strengths on the rest of their offense. So they've got to, you know, limit the short passing game, take away Brock Bowers, and limit the first downs. It's not going to be easy to do. Georgia, I think, has an underrated offense. We always talk about Georgia's defense, rightfully so, because it's just as good as it was last year for different reasons. I believe the defensive line for Georgia is not as robust as it was last year. Georgia doesn't really wow me if you look at the sack numbers. So up front, yeah, they can stop you. They don't get to the quarterback as much as they did last year. But I think in the secondary, Georgia is so talented. I look at Kelee Ringo, another player that is just continued to make plays for Georgia throughout the season. But limit that short passing game. Take Brock Bowers away. Limit the first downs. That's what's going to force Georgia's offense into doing things that they don't necessarily want to do. But I think the other key here, and this might be the biggest key, is forcing turnovers. Georgia's pretty turnover prone. Their turnover differential in the season is -2. And Stetson Bennett has 6 interceptions on the season, which you might say isn't bad. It's really not. But I think that's a misleading stat because I think Stetson Bennett is reckless with the football. And there are plenty of passes. And I haven't watched every Georgia game this season, to be completely honest with you. But I've watched enough Georgia this season to see Stetson Bennett make some questionable throws that weren't intercepted because they were playing inferior opponents. Because Georgia's played a fairly weak schedule this season. I mean, the only really difficult game on their schedule has been Tennessee. And it looks great against Tennessee. But there are several balls that Stetson Bennett has thrown that weren't intercepted, but could have been intercepted if they were playing higher quality defenses. That's exactly what LSU is. And I've highlighted it so many times on the podcast, how important and valuable turnovers are to this LSU team. Big defensive plays. We've seen it, and I've highlighted it so many times. Florida State fumbles at the goal line. LSU recovers. They march down the field in a single minute and score a touchdown. Mississippi State, the offense is slow. Offenses have a struggling to get things moving. Mississippi State fumbles a kickoff. LSU recovers. Mississippi State doesn't score a single point for the rest of the game. LSU outscores them 21-0. Auburn, LSU down 17-0. LSU forces a scoop and score. Auburn doesn't score a single point for the rest of the game. LSU comes back to win. Ole Miss, they start 17-3. LSU crawls their way back up. They're 24-20. It's still a ball game. Joe Fouché intercepts Jackson Dart in the end zone. Ole Miss doesn't score a single point for the rest of the game. LSU goes on a 21-0 run to win the football game. What went wrong against Tennessee and Texas A&M? So many things. We could write a thesis about those two games. But why couldn't they turn things around? Because they didn't force turnovers. When was the game over against Texas A&M? When Texas A&M forced a fumble against Jaden Daniels and they ran it into the end zone for a scoop and score. Big defensive plays, I think, are the catalyst for this team, really this defense. Whenever LSU's been down and they come back to win, turnovers are the turning point. And it's not just forcing turnovers, not with this Georgia team. You got to capitalize off of them too. Whether it's a pick six or a scoop and score, whether it's an interception and LSU scores on that drive, you're going to have to force turnovers and capitalize off of those opportunities. That's the key to beating Georgia, at least defensively. But how do you beat Georgia offensively? The offense for LSU, like I mentioned, has been fairly hot and cold. We didn't see it against Arkansas. We didn't see it against Texas A&M. What are we going to have to see from LSU this weekend in order to win the SEC championship? We'll get into that after this. Offensively and special teams, I'll look at both. Offensively, what is LSU going to have to do? My first question is Jaden Daniels 100% healthy? I know that Brian Kelly mentioned in his press conference on Thursday that Jaden Daniels will be the starter, that he's been practicing this week. And great, wonderful. I honestly never really doubted that Jaden Daniels was going to play this weekend. Kid is tough as nails. I cannot say enough about the toughness of Jaden Daniels. He continues to wow me. So I thought, okay, biggest game of the season, SEC championship, he's playing, no doubt. But not just is he healthy enough to go. Not just is he healthy enough to suit up and play. Is he healthy enough to make those Jaden Daniels plays? Is he healthy enough to escape pressure? And is he healthy enough to be that elusive, you know, force himself through really tight holes, extend for 30, 40, 50 yards downfield and continue plays with his legs? That's really what I think has been kind of the bread and butter of this offense. What sets up the offense in the passing game is what Jaden Daniels and this running back core can do in the run game. I know this Georgia defense is going to want to, their first priority, 1A probably, is stopping Jaden Daniels. Don't let him beat you with your legs. So that's my question is he going to be able to do that? Is his ankle healthy enough to make plays on the ground, on the run? I don't know. If so, that's going to be very, very key in this offense. If not, you're going to have to rely on Jaden Daniels' right arm. And I don't know. I don't feel confident that LSU can beat Georgia simply by passing. But that being said, you're going to have to throw the football to beat Georgia. You cannot beat Georgia simply by running the ball. I've been analyzing a lot over the past few days, two games in particular, the 2021 SEC Championship and the Georgia-Missouri game this season. Why? Because in the past 2 years, the only game that Georgia has lost is to Alabama in the SEC Championship last year. This year, the team that came the closest to beating Georgia was Missouri. So I thought to myself, okay, what are the keys here? What are the similarities here? What's the key to either getting it close or beating Georgia? Looking at the 2021 SEC Championship game, Bryce Young threw for 421 yards. 421 yards. You have to throw the football to beat Georgia. I don't know if Jaden Daniels can throw for 400 plus yards. I feel really good about this receiving core, but I don't feel good about this LSU team simply winning by throwing the football. What I do feel good about is this LSU offense being able to put up 450 plus yards both in the air and on the ground. We've seen it before. We've seen this team do that. We've seen Jaden Daniels himself put up 400 plus, almost 500 yards. So if Jaden Daniels can go out there and have a Florida-esque performance, 300-something passing yards, the team as a whole, 200-something, 150, 200-something rushing yards, that's what you got to do. LSU's going to have to switch up their looks offensively to kind of confuse this Georgia defense, which is going to be incredibly difficult to do. But that's what they're going to have to do. You have to throw the football if you want to beat Georgia. You also, this LSU offense is not equipped to simply just throw the ball. They're going to have to do both. I've said it so many times. This LSU offense is at its best when it's balanced. But then I look at the Missouri game and I'm like, okay, well, surely if that's what Alabama did last year, that's what Missouri probably did this year, right? They probably threw the football, you know, long drives, big chunk plays, threw the ball downfield, 40, 50, 60 yards. You know, Missouri's receivers simply just beat Georgia's DBs. That was not the case at all. Because looking at that Missouri game this year, Brady Cook, Missouri's quarterback, threw for 192 yards and a single touchdown. I mean, if you would have told me, you know, I was completely blindfolded. I had no idea what happened in that game. And you told me simply that stat alone, that Brady Cook threw for 192 yards and one touchdown against Georgia, predict the final score. I would have said, okay, probably 45-7, Georgia. That was not the case at all. Missouri was leading a majority of that game. Georgia ultimately ended up winning that game 26-22, but it was so close and it came down to the fourth quarter. So is throwing the football really the key offensively? That I mean, I don't know. And you can also add in the element of Georgia was probably overlooking Missouri. Georgia was probably playing very conservatively against Missouri. I know that's 100% true. They're not going to be coming into this game with that kind of mindset. But what Missouri did and what the LSU offense is going to have to do, or maybe do differently, Missouri's offense was able to march down the field with really just dink and dunk kind of plays. And Georgia's defense couldn't stop it. So Missouri was able to march down the field. But the problem with Missouri was they weren't able to get in the end zone. Georgia's defense is so good because they will keep you out of the end zone. So you're not going to beat Georgia by kicking field goals. Missouri kicked 5 in that game. And of course, they lost that game. If Missouri is able to score a touchdown on just one of those 5 field goals that they kicked, and these were field goals, I mean, they were in like, they like, within 10 yards, like they're at the 10-yard line and they're kicking a field goal because they just couldn't get past this Georgia defensive front. So you're going to have to make those big plays near the end zone. You're going to have to do that through the air because George is going to stop you. You cannot run the ball into the end zone. It's going to be really difficult to run this ball in the end zone against this Georgia red zone defense. So don't kick field goals. I guess kick them when you need to, but you're not going to beat Georgia simply by kicking field goals. Missouri tried to, and they couldn't do it. And I think the thing here too was it was less about Missouri's offense and more about Georgia's offense and what they couldn't do against Missouri's defense. I mean, they were throwing the ball because they were down majority of the game. They were throwing the ball, and Missouri's defensive backs were just all over Georgia's wide receivers. So looking at these two games and how they played out, it was so incredibly different. You know, Alabama threw for over 400 yards and they blew Georgia out. Missouri, on the other hand, kept it very, very close against Georgia by playing conservatively offensively, kicking field goals, and just playing really hard-nosed defense. So, I mean, take that as you will. It's going to be really hard to beat this Georgia team. This is a really talented Georgia team, and this is a very motivated Georgia team. Kirby Smart's a very good coach, and I know this team is going to be 100% focused, but so is LSU. LSU is going to this game with something to prove. I said this after LSU lost to Tennessee. I said this could either be the best or worst thing that ever happened to this team. This could either be a realization of LSU is going to crawl into a hole and just, you know, hope for better things next year, or this is going to be a wake-up call. I think I mimic that same sentiment after the Texas A&M game. That could either be the best or worst thing that ever happened to them. LSU could have lost to A&M, and then they may lose to Georgia and then lose a bowl game, and they end the season with three consecutive losses on a down note. Or A&M could have been a wake-up call. A&M could have been the reinvigoration for this team to say, look, we are such a good team that just got embarrassed, and we're going to prove to the country that we belong here. Because a lot of people don't think that LSU does. I think this team wants to prove all of those people wrong. And an LSU team with something to prove is a dangerous, dangerous thing. I think overall, Georgia gets the win here. I do. I have to pick this game with my head and not my heart. But I think this game is going to be a whole lot more interesting than a lot of people expect it to be. I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be ecstatic, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see purple and gold confetti falling from the ceiling in Atlanta on Saturday, because this team is tough. This team is so tough. And it's really hard to beat a determined and tough team. These are two both very determined and tough teams. One's been more battle tested than the other, and that's LSU. And I think that's an invaluable element. But we'll see on Saturday. So if you're going to Atlanta, safe travels. And if you live there, enjoy the game. I'll be watching from home, but cheer extra loud for me. I'm so incredibly excited for this game. Let's get to the Sugar Bowl. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Lock and LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts, but make sure to check us out on YouTube as well. So if you like the podcast, make sure to subscribe, Lock and LSU on YouTube, and you'll get notified as soon as the podcast drops. So for your second listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. It's the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.